back to another edition of the Prepper Recon Podcast. Our mission is to bring you great interviews with preppers from around the world so you can be better informed and better prepared for everything from a hurricane to the end of the world as we know it.
KDArmor.com is your one-stop shop for the most affordable body armor period. With packages starting at $169.99 and free shipping on every order, KD offers soft armor and rifle threat rated armor up to level 4. Go to KDArmor.com and get your body armor today while you still can. Mention this ad and receive a free tactical scarf for a limited time with any body armor package.
Hey, Preppers and Patriots. We talk a lot about food storage on the Prepper Recon podcast, but just as important is knowing that you have a way to cook the food that you're storing. Sun Oven is a great way to cook with the energy of the sun, and they have a great deal for Prepper Recon podcast listeners. It's $80 off a deluxe package, which includes a turkey roasting rack, especially for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Just go to PrepperRecon.com and click the Sun Oven banner on the right-hand side of the homepage. Today's guest is Dan Michaels of ePrepper.net. Dan, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. It's great to have you back on. A lot of stuff to talk about. Of course, we're going to be talking about hacking today. I guess one of the biggest things in the mainstream media right now about hacking is Ted Koppel just wrote a new book about the vulnerabilities of our electronic infrastructure. He says that China's already in, Russia's already in, Iran is weeks away from being in. So basically, any of those three countries at any given time that they decide they don't like us, they don't like what we're doing, could just flip the switch on us and shut us right out. And of course, that might be a little bit more realistic of a scenario right now, because somebody just turned out Crimea's lights over the weekend, and of course they were the first segment of Ukraine to side with Russia in the ongoing conflicts over there in Eastern Europe. How real of a threat do you think that is? How vulnerable do you think we are to a cyber attack turning off our electricity?
This is really old news. We can go back a decade. There's documents. I don't have links to them in my notes here, but there are document after document after document that have been posted, PDF files that are available. If you just search up, infrastructure vulnerabilities, you're going to see. And if you're using Google, a little trick in Google is that you can go, you can search for your text, and you can put site:.gov, and it will only show you the government sites. So if I pull this up right now, you could actually Google this right now, and you could see lots of old documents. So I'm just going to search for infrastructure vulnerability and put site.gov. I've read lots, and now you see all of these assessments. Right at the top, you'll find probably a lot of the most recent, but then you got 2014, and you just keep scrolling down through the list. 2013, 2001 had some links. So this is not new. This has been a huge challenge, and now we've become this Internet of Things, and we have all of these devices out there. When people thought that they were building secure devices to control some of these systems, they're now finding out that now they have to keep all those things up to date against what's new hardware, new attacks. So this is not new news. I'm not surprised at all. And if you look, actually, I'm looking at BBC site right now. If you look at the BBC site, it doesn't have to be high intelligence stuff. I mean, you don't have to be hackers sitting in some corner of some dark room tapping into infrastructure stuff. You could just be the guy who takes a bomb out there and takes out the bottom of some of these towers, like they have in this picture here. It's crazy stuff.
Yeah, and I guess that's what's happened in Crimea. It was supposedly a kinetic attack, but now they've also lost cell service as well. So I don't know if they hit some type of relay tower or something like that, or that could have been in conjunction with a cyber attack. But either way, the effect is the same. They don't have electricity, and you're talking about a region of Ukraine that has something like 2 million people in it.
Yeah, and you know, as far as it being you know, data being affected, being cellular and even analog, right? Even just voice over your cell phone is technically data. So, in conjunction with what you see here with a power tower, obviously being taken offline, or it looks like this has got to be power lines. It's power pylons. Somebody could be doing the same thing with fiber, and it would have the same effect. Actually, where I'm at, I won't give you my location here, but where I'm at, recently a construction crew accidentally took out fiber, which impacted a large area. It was impacting places hundreds and hundreds of miles from here. So fiber trunks can carry, you know, that load of cellular service, of cellular data, you know, 3G, all of that stuff. And if that stuff goes away, you're sunk.
And I think one of the biggest things that we haven't had too much worry, as hopefully China and Russia didn't really have much of a reason to hit us before. China, of course, if they hit us, they take out their number one customer. Without Walmart, who's going to buy all their cheap junk? But now Russia... obviously, whatever happened in Crimea, they have to assume that we had some hand in it, because we've propped up the government in Ukraine. So they have to assess some level of blame on the U.S. for that. Turkey, of course, just shot down a Russian jet. I think they did it with an American-made F-16.
I saw that.
And of course, Turkey's part of NATO, so we have some level of responsibility to back them in a hot war with Russia. So there's a lot of stuff here that's making it look more and more like if Russia had that capability, which Ted Koppel certainly seems to think that we do, and he was on CBS and going on and on about it, and he talked to Jed Johnson. And Johnson told him, yeah, we've got a plan somewhere up there, and pointed at a stack of white binders and said, there's a plan up there somewhere. But he couldn't articulate what that plan was to stop a cyber attack. So I think it's something that we do have to be a little bit more.
I don't think anybody has a plan.
Yeah. Except hopefully us.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
Yeah. Now, you sent me another list of current events that are relevant to today's show, touching on everything from the Paris attacks to electronic persecution of Christians. Do you want to hit those highlights?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I want your listeners to know that, man, we're going to be really pouring through a ton of information today. I've got like 20 tabs open on my computer. I actually have three computers in front of me and two cell phones and a radio, FM radio, and they all come into today's program. So you'll want to catch everything we're doing today. This is going to be a lot of neat stuff for you guys. But back to those articles. Yeah. So I don't know if you've heard of Metaxas Talk with Eric Metaxas, you know, the author of Bonhoeffer. Mm-hmm. He had an interview recently with Carol Swain. You can look at it at online, metaxastalk.com. It's Metaxas, M-A-T-A-X-A-S. Oh, it's M-E, isn't it? M-E-T-A-X-A-S-talk.com. I'll have a link to it in our notes for this. So you can go there and you can find this under November 20th. So this is just posted last week. So he has this interview with Carol Swain, a professor at Vanderbilt, who you know, claims that she has received some persecution via from Facebook and from Vanderbilt because of what she posts on Facebook on her own personal blog site. Apparently, in a lot of these universities, there are groups that follow, they're probably just out to follow the professors and find where they slip up and all of that. Well, anyway, this LGBT group didn't like some of the things that Carol Swain was posting in her Facebook. And so they contacted her and basically told her, you better stop. There's, you know, bad things are going to happen. And so they kind of, you know, went ahead and try and control her. But Carol Swain is not the kind of person who's going to give up easy, and she is not backing down on her stance on these issues. So kudos to her there. But we're in a position right now where this stuff, I think, is probably happening on a much larger scale, and maybe we don't even realize it as such. I know that last year, I've got a link here. Okay, so last year on my own Google AdSense account, Google contacted me with this basically a Dear John letter saying that, you know, for some reason or another, we really don't like what you're doing. So we're not going to, you know, we're banning you, and we're not going to pay your advertising. Now, I don't know if it was related to, you know, prepper content, Christian content. I've got no idea. But listen to this generic sounding, why was your account disabled? This is actually what they give you in this email. It says, why was your account disabled? And it says, because we have a need to protect our proprietary detection system, we're unable to provide our publishers with any information about their account activity, including any web pages, users, or third-party services that might have been involved. So, I mean, that's a real descriptive answer of why your account gets banned, huh?
Yeah, the guy that runs StormCloud's gathering, he's a little bit more left of center probably than us, but you know, nonetheless, he does put out a lot of stuff that's kind of freedom oriented, and his advertising feeds were cut from his YouTube channel. And so same thing. And it was, you know, you can't have anything controversial. You can't have anything about war. You can't have anything about politics, you know, basically a lot of stuff that you can have it on YouTube as of right now, but you can't collect advertising fees if that's what you have. So I'm afraid, yeah, for a lot of the alternative news sites that are primarily on YouTube, and I think that's really, really dangerous. And I think that I've encouraged Sean over at SGT Report to start doing a little bit more in the way of making his stuff accessible as podcast downloads. And he's done a lot of that. Yeah. A lot of it is now available as a podcast. You know, YouTube is something that's a Google property, and they are very, very involved in the culture war, and there's definitely coming a day when they're going to start shutting stuff down. So
yeah, well, actually, in their old this is in 2005, a Christian site, Stand to Reason. Is this str.org, you know, was basically told by Google that, you know, we're not going to pay out, you're being banned. And in the content section, it says some preclusions listed include excessive profanity. Well, it wouldn't have been that, right? Hacking or cracking content. Well, maybe that applies to me at some level, but certainly didn't apply to Stand to Reason. Illicit drugs, pornography, gambling. But here's the one that really sticks out. And this is so subjective. Violence, racial intolerance, or advocate against any individual, group, or organization. So those are all reasons that apparently Google in the past at least has been able to ban you from, and probably it's coming to the point now where we're going to see content directly banned, not just the advertising.
Yeah, and I cut AdSense off of Prepper Recon many moons ago. Because of the you go in and you try to block all of this stuff, but every week there's a different Asian dating site that's advertising on your site, and Russian wives, and you know, all of this stuff that could potentially be leading my brothers astray. So I don't want that on my site. So I just pulled it because it was getting impossible to block it all. So
and some of the clothing ads too.
Yeah.
Are horrific. It's like, are you kidding me? I don't want to see this if I'm going to a website. I'm sure other people don't want to see this if they're coming to mine.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. $89 includes shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
So another article here is it's not really an article. If anybody who's been following the Paris attacks will notice this CIA response here, and former deputy director of the CIA Mike Morrell. He comes out, you know, charging Snowden and all of this, saying basically the Snowden leaks are a big reason why we can't track down some of these things that are happening globally and all of this. It's just a load of garbage. In fact, now they're finding out in regard to the Paris attacks that the attackers were actually using low encryption methods of communication, in many cases, no encryption at all, being one of those being SMS text messaging. And so they come out and they're trying to use this as an excuse, and you can just search online and Fox News or whatever your news outlet is, and you could just find this stuff. But that leads to one that's a little more disturbing, and that is Bruce Schneier. He's a leading information security expert, got great stuff. His blog is schneier.com, S-C-H-N-E-I-E-R.com. I'll have a link in the notes on this one as well. But there's probably, we're going to see this policy repercussions of the Paris terrorist attacks is what he titles this. And now the government is being equipped with the idea that since a lot of these things might be using encryption, that they have reasons to be able to go after encryption, and that they have reasons to be able to better control these things themselves, because people are more apt to say, well, maybe it was encrypted. Maybe they were using encrypted communication, and wow, that's really serious. Maybe we need to yield that to the government and let them control these things. So it's just kind of like this perfect storm now that the government has to be able to try and take encryption away from us, just like they're probably going to try and take guns away from us when you look at what's happening. I mean, why not, right?
Yeah.
So persecution is happening. People are being silenced. You can go online and do some searching yourselves on those things. But we're seeing these things happen, and you know this, just like we saw them in Germany. And if you read the book Bonhoeffer, man, oh my goodness. It's like the further we go, it's as if it is spilling off the pages of Eric Metaxas' book on Dietrich Bonhoeffer. It's just unbelievable. Well, it is believable, but
it's happening at such a quickening rate.
Yeah, yeah.
You were talking a little bit about the CIA there before, and I a point that I wanted to mention back when we were talking about Crimea. Is my wife and I have been watching this show. It's called Madam Secretary. It's on CBS on Sunday nights. Anybody that's got a Roku box can go watch the old episodes. I'm sure they have the episodes that you can stream from your computer as well on online if you miss an episode. But last week's Sunday show, they initiate an attack against Moscow, where they turn the lights out in Moscow. And lo and behold, that was one day after the attack where they turned out the lights in Crimea. So even though that one was done through cyber attack in the show, and it was a kinetic attack in reality, the same effect. And then curiously, the president is the ex-CIA director, sort of a Bush senior type there. And then the Secretary of State, who the show's about, she was one of his underlings in the CIA as well. Of course, everybody knows about, it's been declassified, and it was in the church hearings and everything else about Project Mockingbird, where the CIA actively seeks to control public opinion and things like that through the media, through movies and TV shows and news media. And then another funny coincidence was the week prior to that, the show was about a drone attack that takes out Jihad John. So that show actually aired the day before the news announced that Jihad John had been taken out via a drone strike. So very, very curious, and it's something that we'll definitely be watching the show with a little bit different eye now after those two coincidences, two weeks in a row, and the main characters being CIA agents.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy stuff. I'm trying to remember which book series it was that Joel C. Rosenberg had, where he actually was predicting planes flying into buildings, and he had to stop pause the publication of his book and have it reviewed by, I don't know if it was CIA or whoever, but he was spot on. He was looking at just what was happening on the world stage, was able to predict the kinds of attacks that these guys would be planning. That's prophetic, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I think in this particular situation, I think it's that they're getting fed information to make the show look more prescient that more people will watch it to see, oh, wow, let's see what they're going to predict for next week. And then now they've got your mind. And, of course, when we're watching TV, most of us kind of tune out, and we turn off our critical thinking skills because we just want to sit back and be entertained. And that's when we're at the point that we're most susceptible to programming, basically. And so, it's a great way for them to get you to turn off, to tune in and turn off and just kind of accept whatever message they're trying to give you politically. So I think that's probably a lot of what's happening with that. Now, I gotta thank you. You sent me a great link, and it was from the old pre-CIA OSS, and it was a manual on basic sabotage. And even though it's old, there's a lot of stuff in there that's still really, really good. Can you go over a couple of your favorites from that?
I thought one of them that was really neat was just a simple fact that you could take pieces of wood and drive them into the ignition on a vehicle.
Wow.
And just really screw it up, right? They're all really simple things, and I don't even have a short link in front of me for that. Let me try to think.
But what I'm going to do is I'm going to have it. It's going to be have a hyperlink in the okay, show cool. notes, so everybody can go to prepperrecon.com.
Yeah.
So awesome. I mean, if you're listening, you're streaming this from Stitcher or YouTube or whatever, just go over to prepperrecon.com, and today's show notes is going to have that, and you'll be able to click that and get it.
Well, think about this. I mean, you look at Crimea, and look how low tech that was.
Yeah.
People tend to think in technical terms. Well, I tell you what, ISIS is not thinking in high technology terms. And the fact that they were using, if it's true that they were using SMS text messaging for some of their planning, I mean, that's evidence that we're not talking about high tech savvy stuff here. We're talking pretty low-tech stuff. And you think about all of the low-tech ways that you can disturb somebody's day, letting the air out of tires, things like that. I mean, that's pretty low-tech stuff. Not that I encourage anybody out there to go let the neighbor their neighbor's air out of their tires. That wouldn't be very good. It does not have to be complicated stuff.
And you wrote a post recently about hacking as a prepper skill. You want to talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Okay. So hacking as a prepper skill, it's really, and people say that, oh, wow, hacking. Oh, this is about hacking. But really, the dictionary has two definitions of hacking. Okay. One is modifying. And then the other one is circumventing. So when I talk about hacking as a prepper skill, I'm not talking about circumvention. I'm not talking about how do we circumvent a system to take control of it, to steal information or anything like that. I'm really talking about it in the sense of modifying things. And, you know, as a kid, I had this knack for, you know, just messing with stuff. Just, I love to take stuff apart. And maybe some of your listeners are like that. Maybe it's been a while. Get back to it. Get back to those hacker roots, which you take things apart and you'll kind of figure out how they work, or maybe think of a way that you can modify something to do another purpose. And I've got some demonstrations of things like that for today's show, where you take something that's seemingly simple and you just do a little bit of basically hardware hacking, and it's not complicated stuff, and you can. You know, this is, you got to think outside the box. People don't think outside the box anymore, right? You go out and you buy a good, you use it how it says to use it, and you know, you just kind of become lazy with your brain. Well, you probably have a lot of things around your house that would be a lot more useful if you just took some time to think outside the box a little bit. So that's what I'm talking about when I say hacking is a prepper skill. There's two big kinds of hacking that are out there. There's the white hat hacking and the black hat hacking, which are, how do you lock down systems and do all of that. And, you know, I think it's probably pretty important that listeners know how to, you know, lock down their home network. That's not the kind of thing that we're going to get into in today's program, but there's that difference between white hat hacking and black hat hacking, which black hat hackers are the ones that just want to go out there and they just want to steal information. They just want to destroy stuff. They, you know, they're out there with a vengeance trying to cause issues and, you know, steal money really to fund who knows what. So that's kind of what I'm talking about. Hacking is a prepper skill. Think outside the box. Get back to your roots. Take stuff apart. Have fun with it. Learn stuff. Learn different things, new things.
And I think back on the while we were on the Snowden topics before, how much info do you think the NSA is getting on us?
It's really hard to say. I don't think we have a true answer. I don't think anybody but the NSA, and maybe even any individual in the NSA, has no idea, right? It's the NSA as a collective probably knows how much they're getting. On November 16th, when I heard reporters on CBS broadcasting about end-to-end encryption and all of this, and this is still quite a hurdle for the NSA, that makes me think that probably there's many, many things that we can use that are at our disposal, which we're going to talk some about today, that we can be doing to prevent NSA from listening in. Now, NSA, somebody out there listening to this broadcast, look, I got nothing personal about you going after terrorists, but I do have something personal against you going after my own personal information. And I want to keep my stuff secure, and I don't want you or anybody else having access to it, just like I don't want you in my house. So that's what it comes down to. And I think there are some things that we can do to protect ourselves. And you got to put it in perspective. The government is in a place where it's turning, right? It's turning against believers. And again, I take that personally too. I want to do whatever I can to prevent somebody from coming after me and my information. So I think it's important to get educated on this stuff. Encryption's getting a bad name right now. And I think it's a real shame. People should not be thinking, well, maybe I need to use less encryption. They should be thinking, well, maybe I need to use more encryption. And we're going to throw a few things out there. I've got a link to a Computer World article in my notes here as well, a Paris Attacks Demand Wake-Up Call on Smartphone Encryption. So there's a lot of good information out there. People need to get educated on this stuff and start using it. Wean yourself off of Google and all the other big ones and start taking control of your stuff.
And do you expect the government's already collecting info on Christians as a group? Or
I definitely don't doubt it. If Google's probably, I would imagine Google's probably doing it. Facebook apparently is doing it, right? LGBT groups can complain to Facebook and have Facebook can go back to somebody and tell them to take down their site or whatever. So if Facebook's doing it, then I would imagine that probably this stuff is getting logged.
Hey, Preppers and Patriots, that's the end of the first half of my interview with Dan Michaels of ePrepper.net. Tune in next week for the rest of the show.
In the days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition, a global empire arises like a phoenix from the ashes of the world that was. The emerging order is unified by a new global currency and a single world religion, which are mandated by an imposed UN treaty. In the interest of unity and peace, a zero-tolerance policy for dissenters is enacted and strictly enforced. Hunted down like common criminals for daring to resist the state, Noah Parker's group will have to rely on faith and wits to endure the powers of darkness, which are quickly consuming the earth. Buy your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.